Hello.
Welcome to
My Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
Bernice is sick again.
Whatever. I am sick again.
And she is.
That's why my voice sounds strange. I'm like, there's an actress in the old days called Lauren Bacall.
We are not idiots, okay? We all know who Lauren Bacall is. God.
It makes me cough if I laugh.
Let me teach you all something.
How about Polaroid cameras?
There used to be these cameras called Polaroids. Your long dramatic pause.
I know, it's like, Polaroid. I have the knowledge of the past.
And you must wait 2 extra seconds to get it.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone's like, what?
What?
Polaroid?
Pay attention.
Who is it? Lauren Bacall?
Lauren Bacall.
I know. She was an actress. You probably don't know that, but I do.
So today.
Yes.
Yes. Our podcast is going to tie along with our song of the week, which actually we kind of figured this is, if it works, you know, like last week with the warm-up, there's not really a podcast you could do about the warm-up.
Some of the sexy song. I mean, I don't know.
Let's talk about sex some more. How was last night for you?
It was pretty good.
Okay.
Except I'm sick, so maybe not.
Oh, my God.
I'm like coughing on the side. Enjoy. Don't you feel turned on by me now? He's like, nighty night.
He's like, I'm too young to die.
He was sick last week. That's where I got it from, by the way. And so I'd be all like, I'll rub your back. He's all like coughing into his pillow. And I'm like, he's not attracted to me.
Oh, God.
And I'm so dumb because obviously he's like me right now. Very sick.
Sick.
So he doesn't want to like, you want to make out?
Oh, my God.
He's like, not really.
Nope.
Nope. I can barely breathe. I guess you don't like me then. That's fine.
That's fine.
That's what my ancestral knowledge tells me anyway.
That's right. Ancestral knowledge.
That's right.
We're tapping into our ancestral knowledge, or trying to at least.
We're trying to. And because the song.
Our song this week is called She'd Say by Andy Grammer. And actually, I didn't know this before we did the choreography and filmed the choreography breakdown video. But if you watch his music video, at the beginning of it says that his wife got him a session with a medium for his birthday. And right away, his mom was there, and like as a spirit. And his mom basically said, like, I want you to write a song about all the things that, you know, I would tell your daughter.
Yeah, because I'm not, there.
And so he's like, well, if the universe is that crazy, then here we go. Here's the song.
He's like, I did it.
I did it. So anyways, what we tapped into, though, was not necessarily that personal story, but just the importance of ancestral wisdom and feeling that connection to our elders and to those who have come before us.
Yes.
So it's just a beautiful song. We really hope that you guys enjoy dancing to it. It feels so good. Oh, my God. It's very powerful.
It's a very powerful song to move to. And his lyrics and the way he has the musical arrangement is really good with that kind of bass, with the tribal sound in the background. And then he's just singing like,
it's really, really nice.
Really, really well done. Great lyrics again.
Yeah. So, we hope you guys enjoyed that. One of the things that I've been talking about a lot, and Bernice always gives me shit because, well, we'll talk about that why in a second. But I've been really interested in doing a lot of work and booking sessions with shamanic healers and people who are more mediums, I suppose, because I feel like there's a big part of me who is kind of like, I don't know, like a little bit lost in this world. And we've talked about why, like, when a lot of the immigrants, a lot of the people came over to the U.S., they were in search for a better life.
A new beginning.
So they were either running from things or they were trying to
get away from something or just have a restart, maybe. I mean, a lot of people came because of famines or political pressure. And they didn't want to look back, I don't think. They just wanted to look forward.
Yeah.
Which is, I was just reading this article today about about ancestral wisdom. It didn't really have anything to do with it, but I kept, there were these little snippets in there that triggered my thought pattern because they were kind of complaining about the political climate right now. Oh, it wasn't anything about, but somehow it popped up on my feed. But the interesting part is it's kind of what makes America great. Is this drive to start over. We came from all these ancestors, at least us people not of Native American heritage.
Right.
And it was like, let's leave all that behind. And basically it's a blank slate.
Yeah.
Let's just start.
Right. And that is exciting and that it was successful for a lot of people.
You can believe whatever.
You can.
It's almost like, I mean, we've talked about the Puritans and some of that historical stuff that we do deal with.
Right.
But in general, it's almost like, just believe whatever. Everything's kind of open to you.
But with that, I feel like we lost a lot of our connection to our ancestors, mm-hmm. to who we are as a people. Because one of the things that was really prioritized, I think, in earlier generations too, was this, like, when you come to the U.S. or to the United States of America.
Yes.
I want to live in America.
I want to live in America.
They were either forced or encouraged or chose to, I'm sure they're a combination of all of those, forget about their cultures and their traditions and even their language to a certain degree and just really assimilate. And I think that that's actually one of the reasons that there's so much, pushback against immigrants now is they're embracing their culture, you know,
they're bringing it with them. Yes.
They're
not kind of like, you're not assimilating.
You're not assimilating.
Yes.
You're not forgetting everything that makes you who you are
right.
to become one of us.
Right.
And that's why I think we have some conflicts with immigration now that we maybe didn't so much have in the past, because in the past it was kind of like the way was to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
But with that assimilation, we don't really know what we're assimilating to.
No, there's no set of norms or anything.
Yeah.
You know, like even how we start a group, we do workshops.
Yeah.
You start off with a set of norms, like don't have your cell phones. There's like simple rules, you know, and you lay them out because all groups kind of want a set of norms that they can kind of rest on and feel safe about. But it's funny how here, just like I was saying, you can believe whatever.
Right.
You're not tethered to the stories of your ancestors.
Right.
You know, you're not tethered to like, well, remember what great grandma said, like when you get out of the water,
right.
you shouldn't throw, you know, rocks in because you'll bring the whatever, sea people up or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we're just like, woo!
Yeah.
No stories. But then
that's a problem.
Then we're all, no stories.
No stories.
No stories. So then we're all looking around because we want to have.
Well, we need a story.
Yeah, and we want wise people.
We want some
wise people. I think sometimes that's why I just want a wise person.
And that's why for me, I do look towards these shamanic people because I'm like, you're tapped into wisdom that maybe my ancestors had access to that wasn't passed down. I do think that there is, you know, there's a lot of conflict around cultural appropriation right now, which there's a sensitivity towards it. And I'm trying to be really respectful of that. But there's another part of me as this white person who I don't really know anything about my ancestors or the wisdom that was passed down through my generations or like how we connected to place. I don't have any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes someone like me is like, you still have access to your ancestral wisdom. Like, will you share any of that with me? Because I feel like I'm lost out here.
Right. Or the people that learn it through another, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what is happening now, I think, is that there's this sort of.
Well, I just mean even like wearing like bead earrings.
Oh, bead earrings.
You know,
right.
It's like, you can't wear those because you're not Native American. Or
right.
You're not part of this tribe. It's like, I know I'm not, but where the fuck is my tribe?
Right. But I like them.
Yeah.
And they're nice. You know, they look nice.
Well, that, or sometimes I'm like, okay, can I feel a connection to spirit
right.
through doing these things that I see other people doing that seem to be working?
Right. Well, it was funny because I talked to my husband. He just was in England and Scotland. And I was saying, you know, how we've lost, our culture has lost touch with ancestors, like we're talking about ancestral wisdom. And he was saying, well, in England, you know, they were just constantly fighting the Druids.
Oh, uh-huh.
Remember that? They were just like,
yeah.
No Druids, right. Like just decimating them. Like uh-huh. It was just very clear that you just have to kill that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because you see sort of the Celtic or Druidic stuff, but then that for whatever reason, when cultures come in, they're like, no more of that.
Right.
You know, that is not safe.
Right.
And then it's lost.
Yeah.
And then everyone's trying to go around going like, and maybe there's a handful of people that still remember it or somehow were taught it. But in general, he said, it's the same thing there. Like, even though they have this long sense of cultural history now with, you know, after the Druids with the church and how the church developed.
Yeah.
He's like, it still happened there at that time. Like that must've been a really hard time for them.
Oh, totally.
Like no more of this where, you know, where totally. Stonehenge is. Like, what is that? We don't even know what that's for.
Right.
We're like, nice.
Yeah.
You guys move these rocks everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, what was, we're all conjecturing, well, this rock looks like it might be pointing to the North Star, you know?
Right.
But we've lost all that ancestral knowledge. It's almost like this weird cultural thing where we're like, that's it.
Yeah.
We fight it off.
So my family is from Scotland, and I don't know, sometimes I almost think that like, we were like witches or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think a lot of that like witchy stuff, it was, I mean, paganism.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And there's a lot of things that like you're talking about with then religion or the church came in mm-hmm. and kind of was like, okay, no,
mm-mm.
You guys don't get to do this.
It makes sense because the church wants power,
wants
power. Spirituality.
Yes.
And a lot of other stuff too, right. Not just spirituality at that time.
Right. It wasn't just about a way to worship God.
No, it was not. It was about, you know, they were huge landowners.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Very, very powerful.
So, yeah, for me, it's interesting, though, because we are Scottish and we have this, I have this big portrait in my living room of this woman. And she is my, like, great-great-grandmother.
Great-great-great-grandmother.
I don't even know.
We should find that out.
But it's like she was in Scotland, and we literally last year just found out that her name is Sarah because my sister got on Ancestry.com.
And how did she figure that out? Or
I can't remember. I'd have to ask her. But you can like
maybe
find
she do a location
and then
or
she
a
found
birthday
it.
Even if you knew that. Maybe.
Well, and then when you go on Ancestry.com, it'll be like, oh, we have a potential
relative
of yours,
right?
Blah, 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 blah. And so anyways, this portrait, it's massive.
Massive. Yeah.
It takes up a whole section of my wall.
Yeah.
It has been passed down through the generations, and I'm so lucky that this is in my living room. But literally until my sister last year even found out that her name is Sarah, we didn't even
she
know
had no
was,
name.
She had no name. We just knew she was somebody from our family.
You knew it was your great, great, great.
I knew it was my great, great
grandmother.
We knew that like they lived in Scotland. Her and her husband or her husband and his dad or somebody had a paper company, and they invented packaging tape, brought their invention over to the U.S., like lost all their money in the Great Depression. But beyond like – and then we kind of know what happened once they got here. But I don't know anything about her.
Dad's lineage.
That's on my dad.
Yeah.
On my mom's, I know next to nothing.
Interesting how same with me, the mom.
That you know about your dad's side, but not your mom's side. Which, well, and also interesting, we all get rid of our mom's last name to take on our dad's.
I know.
Name.
I was completely offended when Joe did that. I forgot.
That she would lose her
last
name.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I kept calling her. Remember, I kept
Johnston.
Trying to email her,
yeah.
Johnston. Uh-huh. She's like, Mom, I changed my email. I'm like, to what?
Yeah.
And she's
yeah.
like, to Ellsworth. I'm like, Ellsworth?
But I don't have, like, you know, going back to that song, the Andy Grammer song, it's like, it's She'd Say, and it's all these beautiful things, but I look at this woman, and I'm like, I don't even know what she
You're
would
like,
say
what
to
would
me.
She say?
And, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, when, well, even in the song, when you come to the bridge in the song, and he's singing about, it's basically singing from her perspective mm-hmm. instead of his, and she's like, I'm always with you and I'm mm-hmm. happy and I'm always, you know, watching over you. I'm like, there's no freaking way this woman would be watching over me. How would she even care about me?
Right.
Like, I don't know her. She doesn't know me. Like, I don't feel physically in my body, in my spirit, any sense of tie to my ancestors. And that makes me really sad.
Yeah. And that's what makes you search.
And that's what makes me search.
I think too. Yeah, exactly.
Because you have more of a connection to your ancestors being from being Native Hawaiian.
Yes, I do. And I have a lot of stories and a lot of knowledge.
Right.
And they were very clear, or my dad was, about passing down knowledge and stories, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a very traditional way to be storytelling.
It is.
And like, you don't want to do that. You want to give a cow a big pasture.
Right.
Whatever the stories yeah. are. I'm like, please don't refer to me as a cow.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But I do feel, but that's funny, like we were talking about, I know my father's history very well. Even his mother, who's white
uh-huh.
from Boston,
uh-huh.
I know her history too. But my mother's side, not so much.
Yeah.
My mother's side, not so much. And my grandmother. I know actually more about her husband.
Oh, sure.
But I know hardly anything about her.
Yeah.
Which is, I find odd. But it's like, but I do feel very connected. Or I feel like they're always talking to me somehow, trying to tell me
you
something.
You always talk about your ancestors.
I know.
And you think that your family believes that you guys turn into birds.
That's one of the beliefs, yeah, that we turn into
so
birds.
So if you go anywhere, like by the ocean with Bernice, you'll see she's always calling to the birds, and they're always responding to her, and she has this whistle, and she's always like, we were in Tulum, and she's like, God, look at that handsome bird. Oh, and we're like, okay.
It was a heron.
Okay.
He was
but it was
so
just so
handsome.
Funny how you were like, he's so handsome. We're like, yeah, we know you think that you're like people turn into birds.
He was my lover in a past life.
I know.
Life,
I'm like,
obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you
I'm
like that one.
I will pick him again.
But I don't have, like, and that's a story that was passed down to you.
It's totally
whether it's true or not.
It's whether it's true or not. It's like the little childhood brain, it made it reality. You know what I mean, too?
But I don't even know what my ancestors believe about anything.
Right, because there was no, but isn't that interesting? There's no oral knowledge passed down.
No.
Oral
none.
History.
No.
Passed down.
No. And so when, you know, when the people came to the United States and they either lost it all before or they were forced to, you know.
Give it up. Or assimilate. You understood, like maybe I would start talking. Let's say if I moved.
Yeah.
To Ellis Island. And I'm talking to everyone about the birds.
Nobody moves to Ellis Island.
No, I mean, but they went through Ellis Island.
Okay.
And I moved to Ellis Island. I did. I lived there. Had a great place. Really good real estate. No, I passed through Ellis Island, let's say now. Let's say it happened now. But back then. And I would start being like, you know, I'd settle down in some little town near Ellis Island. That's where everybody kind of settled in that East Coast area. And I'd start talking about the birds.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see where everyone would be like,
You're fucking crazy.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about birds here,
yeah.
ma'am. We're going to, like, aren't you going to get a job at the printers? Or how about the farriers?
Yes.
Like, and if you talk about birds.
Yeah.
You remember what happened to the people in Salem?
Right. Well, and I do feel like so much of, because I come from
Oh,
Scotland,
how interesting. It just hit me.
Yeah.
It's the Puritans.
Oh, it's totally.
Too.
Those Puritans.
I wonder, like, and Puritan. We're just the Puritans. We like to blame everything on the Puritans.
We do
which is
blame
funny.
Everything on the Puritans.
And we're sorry if you're a Puritan.
Sorry about that.
We apologize.
But you don't have control over what your great-great-great-great-grandparents did. So
no.
You're not to blame.
No.
It's just the establishment. But I believe because my family did come over from England, Scotland, that area, I do think that we probably were... you know, part of that Salem thing or
yeah,
I feel like,
we were there.
Well, we visited there. I felt a very
oh,
strong
my
connection
goodness,
to
that
Salem.
Was so awesome.
I loved it there.
We went there right before Halloween.
We did.
In October.
Had like, yeah, had a great time.
Had a great tour.
Had
some
great tour.
Stories about the witches there.
But like but it's just so unfortunate that it's like, being a witch is basically just, I think, having ancestral wisdom.
Yeah, you might be right.
You know, and like
right.
in Peru, all the shamans from the Amazon, you know, if they came to Salem in the 1600s, they would have been killed for being witches too. And I think there's just, however it shows up, there's just been a killing off of this ancestral wisdom. So, and like for me, I do feel like I just bought a book about Wicca because I'm like, that feels like how maybe my ancestors connected.
Well, you know.
But then I come off as a crazy person because I'm reading a book about Wicca. Wow. Like, I even had to hide the book so my babysitter didn't see it.
Oh, that's
I'm
so
like,
funny.
You're probably going to think I'm crazy if you see a book about Wicca. You know?
Yeah, right.
Just like, how do I tap into my own ancestral
wisdom? You know what?
Being separated from where my ancestors were.
Right. Well, for me, is I go back, you go and ask them. Like, you go to the places where they were, which is what you're doing.
Which is what I do.
And that's...
I go to England a lot.
You're going to England, you're going to go to Scotland, and perhaps you'll go to some places where they were.
Right.
Where you'll walk the land, and you'll see the place, and you'll be like, oh, this is an interesting place.
Right.
Like, how? What do I feel about this place?
Right.
And sometimes you'll feel like a knowing, like, oh, I'm from this place somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It's connected to me. It's in me.
Mm-hmm. And then how do I connect with like my, I don't know, it's like through spirit though, I feel like you can connect. So more than just the place, like how do I connect with my people?
Yes. You're
the ones who have passed though.
Right. The ones who have passed. Well, I think one of the ways is going to the places if you're able to.
Right. Which is
can't, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And giving yourself, leaving yourself open to talk, you know, like what is it that you would want me to know? You know, like even just like, it's kind of like what we do, the vision quest in workshops.
Right.
Which is weird because there is knowledge out there that you can hold on to. You just haven't asked the question.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree with that.
So you have to, like, I am asking you the question.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like when we do the song, she'd say,
yeah,
sometimes I feel like we're looking up and I'm like, I see you.
Right.
I see this lineage of all of you above me. I totally get that. And I'm just a piece in this big ladder or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I was lucky enough to do one of those Maori ceremonies in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the marais. I've already told Kaylee this before. The marais are built. So when you go into them, you have to have a ceremony to go in. And then when you go in, you're inside this building and there's these big pieces of wood coming out of the roof and going all the way to the floor. And each one is the rib, is a rib.
Mm-hmm.
And each family stands under their ancestor's rib.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then people spend all night there. You sleep under them. And they leave themselves open to talk to them. And then when we did that, it helped. My dad was in a very depressed state at the time. And this is one of the things that saved his life. Because he felt, suddenly he had this reawakening of connecting to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat all night in the marae. And they were kind of teaching him, like, this is where you can sit under their rib. It doesn't have to be our rib.
Right.
It can be your rib.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine, a rib. Mm-hmm. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, it would just blew me away. Like, and that, even now, I can still feel that feeling of, like, oh, they're all up there.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow looking down, like, hey, remember, I was the one who, you know, always lost her temper. Don't do that. You know, or, you know, I was the wild one and lost all my money. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of feel them kind of all, but I wouldn't have had that connection without that kind of experience, I think.
Yeah, interesting.
That understanding. But I think we do have the opportunity to ask our people.
I think we do too.
Hello,
I think we
people.
Just don't usually ask.
We don't ask. We don't ask. No.
I guess for me though, I don't really know who to ask.
Well, you don't really have to know who. You just kind of be like, she's in your living room.
I know, she's in my living room.
And she's so powerful, by the way, you guys. I mean,
she's very powerful.
You go in and she's like, she's a beautiful portrait. She has a beautiful outfit on, just like some of my books I read.
I mean, she you can tell she was like a powerful woman.
Very powerful woman. She's very, you know, she's holding herself.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I totally feel her presence. And then I'm always like, oh, I better behave because
she's
watching. Kind of watching. You know, I'm like, oh, I was nice to Kaylee today. Just so you know, I did disagree with her on three things, and I apologize for that. But I do feel her presence, and it's almost, don't you think, like opening yourself up to that?
I do think that's opening up yourself to that.
Yeah, because she's sitting right in your living room, and I think she wants to talk.
I should talk to her more.
Yeah, I think
I
she
never
feel like
to
she
her.
Wants to talk. Like, she's so, like, and she has so much information, but a lot of stuff happened, and so everyone was like, let's not talk about her anymore.
So, this reminds me so much of Frozen 2. Oh, so
I want to see that movie. I haven't seen it yet. Ray is really excited. So is Joe.
I love, like, I would go again. But it's so actually fascinating because so much of Frozen 2 is about ancestral wisdom. Mm. And without ruining too much for those of you guys out there who haven't seen it, but you have to go see it.
Like me.
Even if you don't have kids, go see it. It's such a great movie for adults. But basically the story is, Anna and Elsa need to reconnect with their ancestral wisdom to find all these answers that they're looking for. And it all ties into spirit. It all ties into this sense of place, spirit of place, talking to our ancestors, trying to understand who our ancestors are. Like, part of the big, big, big storyline in this is like figuring out who are their ancestors? Right. What is the ancestral story? What is the knowledge? How does Elsa have her powers?
Oh, cool.
And like, one of the things that I love is, like, as you know, I've been getting really into just, you know, crystals and energy work and all this stuff. And so I just love it because I'm just noticing all the little, what are they called? The little trolls.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
all wearing like crystal necklaces that are all lit up. And then I was like,
they talk about that.
Yeah. And I have recently been interested in getting a tattoo of runes for my daughter's middle name. So Hope, Love, and Joy. And so runes are like old Viking symbols, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome because in like when she's going to the to this forest, there's all these big stones that have runes
on them. They have runes on them.
Yeah, they have runes on them. And I just was like picking up on so many different things of this like ancient ancestral wisdom that I think crosses all cultures. It's like this connection to nature, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, yeah, good point.
And that's so much I think about what some of this ancestral wisdom is. It's the spirit. It's nature. It's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And right. as I'm reading my Wicca book, so much about Wicca is like, you can't ignore the nature part. So much of nature is a part of the practice. I want to say, not like,
and it's
religion,
interwoven in us, you know,
it's
like we talk
interwoven.
About what are the elements of the world is made of. Earth is made of. We have the same elements.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's just like, we are part of this earth,
yes.
you know, so
yes.
it's so funny when we remove ourselves from
yeah.
nature, we don't understand that we're removing ourselves from ourselves. And that's
and
part
of our spirit.
And our spirit, part of our ancestral wisdom is connected
yes.
to nature.
And I love that you said we just forget to ask. We forget to listen.
We forget to
and,
ask.
And what she's haunted by is this sound. She's haunted by this like singing, this sound. And she tries to ignore it. She tries to ignore it. And she's like, I go away. Like, I don't, I'm comfortable now. I finally like.
I've got a good life.
I have a good life. I don't want to be called by you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's her. I'm not going to ruin it. But it's an ancestor who's calling to her, calling
wants
to her, saying
to talk
like,
to her.
Yes, yeah. And then she gets in there and she has the conversation. She gets the answers and she really taps into her power. Oh my God, there's like this scene. I love it so much when she's gone to the place of where they originated and she's just totally like, I mean, it's magic. It's so magic. But it ties into exactly what you're saying is, you know, you've got to visit the place. You've got to connect with the ancestors. You have to be open to listen,
yes.
to receive.
And you have
and
to ask,
ask
the question. It's okay to ask.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's really cool.
And this is a whole cultural movement. I just read, when we were doing research for the topic, there's a bunch of articles out about it right now that Americans in particular, not any other culture, are traveling to all these sort of indigenous places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the indigenous places are making it available because of course it's a good business too.
Yeah.
But they're doing, you know, so that they're making it available because the Americans are searching.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
is it mainly Americans or is it, it's mainly Americans.
Americans. If they're Americans. Not seeing it from anyone, not anyone. It's mainly Americans doing all like, I'm going to go down and do some ayahuasca. But it's like, it's, they're seeing it from it's a huge movement happening right now. And I don't know if culturally we feel really lost right now.
Mm-hmm.
They noted that it kind of happened in the 60s and 70s too,
mm-hmm.
when there was a big transition from mm-hmm. how we defined ourselves
mm-hmm.
to the free, you know,
yeah.
free movement. And, I don't know if we're, you know, again, we're feeling, it feels a little scary in America now to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we're all feeling a bit unsteady
mm-hmm.
and it's like, somebody give us some wisdom. Can someone
yeah
lead us, or at least tell us, you know, the answers or how we should be.
And I guess I feel a different way about that because you are more like you're super engaged with the news and everything. Mm-hmm. For me, I feel like we're in a spiritual awakening. So
well, it could be part of the spiritual awakening too.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a lot of where our searching is coming from is it's like we're trying to say, okay, like I'm waking up spiritually. So now who do I go to? Who are the elders that mm-hmm. I should learn from?
Right.
Where do I learn? And I think that's part of the reason that we are feeling like we need to connect with elders. And some could argue that I should only be talking to elders in the British Isles because that's where I'm from.
But
some people would agree with
that. Some people would for sure. Yeah.
Some people would say, who are you to gain this type of wisdom? Those are my elders and your elders fucked us. So yes. You don't get my knowledge.
They have a lot of pain in their history.
There is. And I totally understand that. But I feel like the way forward through this awakening is for the knowledge to be shared.
Yeah.
In order for us to heal, in order for us to move into this new phase of evolution and of enlightenment.
I totally agree with that. For me though, I just have to talk to elders of their ilk if they're open. Because mm-hmm. and you feel it when you're around them. I've felt it a few times in my life where I'm like, oh, you know, I better listen.
Yeah.
This person has a lot of knowledge. I remember in New Zealand one time I was there and I was maybe messing around with a boy.
I'm so surprised to hear that.
And one of the elders came up to me. I don't even know him. Like in America, you would never talk to someone either. Like I don't really know you. You know my dad. I don't know you. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me and he's like, you better behave when you're in this place. He's like, we're watching you. And your ancestors are watching you.
Oh, whoa.
And I was all like, pardon?
Sometimes I'm like, are my ancestors watching me in the shower?
I know. I'm like, they're what? And then I was like, enforced my rebellious kind of sort of American heart was like, yeah. I shall do whatever I want.
We have such a, I can do whatever.
Oh my God. I was like, do not tell me what to do, sir.
Oh yeah.
But then now as I get older, I'm like, he was just kind of like, hey,
yeah,
you gotta, this is your life, babe.
I grew up with my dad's mom having already passed, my mom's dad already having passed. My grandma lived in Texas. We lived in Montana. Like I don't really have any connection to any elders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Where did the elders go?
Where are they?
I don't know. Like when my dad died, I felt this huge, like, who do you talk to now? Like who are
that's why I'm like, I feel like I got to adopt Papa.
Yeah. Thank you, Papa.
Because you pass along his wisdom to me.
Right.
And I, because I'm like, I have no idea. The woman in my living room, Sarah, which now I know her name. I'm like, I don't know what you would tell me. I don't know anything. I don't know. What kind of people are we?
Right.
Are we hard workers? Maybe I could give myself a little bit more slack too. If I was just like, this is just how we are.
Oh yeah.
This is what my people are
exactly.
like.
Exactly. If you're like, no, you guys were hard workers for generations.
I'm a go-getter hard worker.
Oh yeah.
This is just who we are. This is who my people are.
Yeah.
Then I can almost be like, oh, I can accept myself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is my people.
Yeah.
This is how we are. But without that, I do find myself being like, who am I?
Yes, right. Who am I?
Who am I?
And who can tell me about me?
One of the questions that we sometimes ask in workshops, sometimes not, but who am I to my family?
Oh, I love that.
Which is such
one.
A powerful question, you know, and I have no idea who I am to my family.
I know who I am to my immediate family.
I know who I am to my immediate
family. But in the long-term family, I don't know who I am. Although I think some of the elders in Hawaii know who I am because they'll look at me and I'll be like, what are you looking at? And then,
and then a bird will hit on you.
And then a bird, you know, lands on my shoulder and is like, you're really cute. I'm like, okay. I can't laugh because it makes me cough.
No, don't laugh.
Don't laugh.
That song, though, dancing to it. So I think I also need to kind of.
Did you feel connected at all dancing to it?
Well, I feel connected to spirit dancing to it. I don't know if I'm like able to identify like I'm not sure if I can segregate the spirit from this person's spirit or this type of spirit.
Yeah.
But dancing for me is such a powerful way to access spirit. And sometimes because it doesn't feel like the way that I would assume it would feel to connect to spirit, then I write it off as, you know.
Right. That it's was, not really.
But I do think that movement is the way that I really give or receive messages.
Yes.
And I think we can all understand that feeling when you get like tingles.
Oh, or, yeah.
I mean, don't you think that's something?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so when I'm dancing, especially.
And when I think about humans, again, we take the larger context of humans and people dancing for generations. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been such a big part of our culture, mm-hmm. our giant culture.
Our giant culture.
Our giant Homo sapien culture. I think dance was a big part of it. And I think that's when I dance, I think for a little while, I'm like, oh, I am connected to all those that have come before. Mm-hmm. And in our culture, it's always about honoring those who have come before mm-hmm. because it's like they lived, you know, just as fruitful and painful lives as we live, as we are living. And I think we owe it to them to be like, God, you know, what was it like for you?
Right.
Tell me. Or even if it's even it's just a spiritual question.
I get that. Like I, from a human perspective, can understand conflict, but my spirit wants to feel a sense of groundedness or like a sense of belonging or like, you know, I want to be able to light a candle and be like, come in,
mm-hmm.
you know, come in ancestors or yeah. come in knowledge or, you know, do I access it through my intuition or through movement or through vision or through
probably all those things.
Yeah, but I don't kind of yet, being so I'm working on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're working on it. But those are all great ideas of how mm-hmm. to access it. And mm-hmm. and then asking the question, kind of like what we said, you know, how we manifest
mm-hmm.
by just putting it out there right. to the universe. Like,
right.
come, tell me a story.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you have a story. And it might just be a picture in your brain. You know, you might meditate and light a candle. You might, come tell me a story, Sarah.
Right.
And it, she might just show you
a picture,
a beautiful brocaded cloth.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
But that's a story trying to be passed down.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, thanks for that. Thanks for the picture.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, however we stay open. I hope this podcast elicits a lot of input from you folks because I'm sure.
Because I've been terribly unpolitically correct.
Right. And so I think it's a great way for all of us to talk about this because I think that's how we make sense of it.
Right.
By just getting the dialogue going. Like, well, for me, this is how I see it. And for me, this is how I speak to the spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
And not being like, oh, that person is a totally inconsiderate person. You're like, oh, that person just feels like their soul is lost.
Yeah, they're just lost. And so, you know, how do we give comfort?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we make sense?
Which I think is very different than like, you know, dressing up as a Native American for Halloween. Like I get that is
yes.
cultural appropriation. Like I totally understand that.
Good point.
But some of the stuff that I'm, you know, I'm like, well, am I allowed to?
Well, you're
am
like, I allowed to can I do this? A sweat lodge or?
But the cool thing is I think that the more people kind of try to connect or go there, the more we realize that it's not just a select few who have the ability. I think we all have an ability to connect with spirit. We just have it turned off.
Yeah, we had it turned off because we, you know, there was a rule for us that there was only one way to connect to spirit probably. And
right.
So we just lost that the other conduits to it.
Yeah. And so I don't know. It's just an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
You know, like what would your ancestors, as you're dancing this, like what would your ancestors be saying to you?
Yeah.
Like what message can they pass on through you to your children, you know, or when you're feeling lost, like can you feel them with you?
Yeah. Maybe you just want to feel them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just ask like in this song,
let me feel them. You.
Yeah. Let me feel you.
I'm going to open up physically, emotionally, spiritually mm-hmm. to let you come through. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be interesting to see how everyone feels doing this.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Because I definitely felt like very powerful energy. And I can't understand. I don't know how to say, oh, that's spirit or that's an ancestor or mm-hmm. what, you know, I'm just like, holy cow, there was some beautiful energy just
yes.
coming through right
and
there.
And that's
maybe
really,
that's all.
That's the answer.
That's, you know.
Yeah. Because, you know, we just want to define things or sort of compartmentalize, but it can be spirit and ancestors
mm-hmm.
because they're all interconnected.
Right.
They're all part of the out there,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Swirling around us.
Yeah, swirling around
us. Swirling around all the time. All that, just like electricity. I just have to go back to electricity because it just blows my freaking mind.
But I guess not to drag this podcast on any longer, but do all religions believe that your ancestors, like, do religions think that ancestors are out there swirling around?
I don't know. I think a lot of religions do.
Like Christianity?
Christianity might have had some belief about that, but a lot of times you'd have to go through someone to speak with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. See, somebody has the power.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were smart. Someone figured it out.
Yeah, power.
They're like, hold on.
You want to talk to Auntie?
Yeah.
You got to come to me.
That's exactly right. You're all coming here today, and we'll talk to Auntie today.
Yeah.
But so there was sort of an appropriation of power sometimes, I think, that you can talk to them, but you'll have to come here.
Yes, or do it in this building.
And probably through whoever.
Yes. Yeah.
So... which, you know, it's just their power is an important thing. And there are many ways to the mountaintop.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if everyone's going to be like, yeah, I feel like my ancestors can talk to me.
Yeah.
Or if people think that their ancestors are now in a new space.
Right.
And can't
come cross over
can't
or
come
whatever.
Through.
Right. Yeah. That's a very good question.
But see, again, like I'm kind of a clean slate because I grew up with no connection to ancestors or religious background.
Right.
So I get to just kind of.
Which is what we'll go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
That's what gave us the moxie.
Yeah.
Because we're like, I'm a clean slate, baby.
Yeah.
Nobody's stopping me.
Yeah.
Because where they came from, there were probably a lot of people trying to stop them.
Oh, yeah.
This person, this head person. Your grandparent, everybody telling stories. No, 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 you can't do that. And they're like, not here, not now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where I get to start over. Mm. And now we're all like, but who were you?
Right.
Why just start over?
Like, I think we're broken.
Yeah.
I think we have no sense of connection to who we are, and we are kind of a lost people right now.
And we lose our sense of self.
We totally
are. We're all like, well, who am I then?
Yes. And who am I?
Who am I? Sometimes I'm like, I don't know.
Are we strong?
I don't know.
Are we a funny group of people?
Were we weak?
Were we weak?
Yeah, were we like...
Did we all die from like the chicken pox?
The famines or something? Like, I'd like to know that.
Were we always in court?
Yeah, right.
Was my family
in court? Was I in court?
Of course I was in court.
Or was, you were in court. I was like out like picking some weeds.
No, you were the queen.
I was
at court.
I was the queen, sickly queen, of course. I'm sick again. Kaylee, Sarah, can you bring me some tea, darling?
This lifetime, I'm like, bitch, I'm in charge.
That's right. You're like, this time around, I know what I'm going to do with you.
Anyways, it's a beautiful song, you know.
It's a beautiful song.
So even if you don't do Ula, listen to the song,
yes.
She'd Say by Andy Grammer.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. That was a really good song
really
you made.
Good song.
And I apologize if I've been offensive. I'm just curious.
We're just curious and I'm searching and questioning and trying to find answers is what we're all doing in this place.
Yes.
So thank you for listening.
Thank you for, yes, please send us messages.
Send us messages. We'd love to have a dialogue.
Have a good day, you guys.
Bye.